Our present meditation is on Saint Vincent de Paul. There are few saints about whom more has been written, and few saints on whom we have more authentic historical documentation. The most exhaustive source is the 13-volume combination of the correspondence, the conferences, and the documents. Then the standard life of Saint Vincent de Paul in 3 volumes, both a complete, exhaustive documentation and the 3-volume biography by Coste Leonard, hyphenated Coste Leonard, a Vincentian who spent a lifetime gathering together all the correspondence and all the historical data. First, something about his biography. Born in 1580 and died in 1660. He had been a parish priest before he became a religious founder. He counseled, but also was inspired by Saint Francis de Sales. He began his work in caring for the galley slaves, thousands, the poor, the sick, the foundlings, the beggars, seminarians, priests, and parish missions. He founded 3 institutes, the Vincentians, to whom in great gratitude I owe 14 years of teaching at their university in New York after we closed our own seminary and theologate in Chicago. First then, the Vincentians, also called the Congregation of the Missions. He founded the Ladies of Charity, and finally, the Daughters of Charity, which in time became several score different religious institutes, or deriving their inspiration and spirituality from Saint Vincent, although with both the Ladies of Charity and the Daughters of Charity, the one with whom he worked was Saint Louise de Marillac. She, incidentally, had been widowed and it was she who then put the constitutions of the Daughters of Charity, Sisters of Charity, that are now so widespread throughout the world. Now, something about the significance of Saint Vincent. It was Saint Vincent who, after 1600 years of having all religious women in the church, being bound by what we call solemn vows, and living a contemplative life. It was Saint Vincent who first changed, I repeat, after 16 centuries, the exclusive apostolate, as you may call it, of religious women being in the cloister. The active, externally active involvement of religious women, who by now in the church are over 1,100,000. All of these active apostolic institutes owe their origin, finally, to Saint Vincent de Paul. It was he also who introduced simple vows into religious life, as distinct, remember, from solemn vows. It was he also who introduced the long years of preparation before final vows would be taken. He recognized in the, 17th century, which was the century following the tragedy of the so-called Protestant Reformation. He realized that the main reason why 6 whole nations were lost to Catholic unity in the 16th century, 2 main reasons: ignorance of the faith and immorality among the clergy. And that is why he concentrated, as we shall see, on giving religious instruction, unlike Saint Ignatius, who concentrated on the intelligentsia. Saint Vincent concentrated on the ordinary people and to the women's communities, also on the youngest children. He understood that God would bless his apostolic work if he depended, and his both men and women depended, exclusively on the generosity of the faithful. No mazuma, no charge for your services. Now, some of the features of what we call Vincentian spirituality. You won't believe it, but I've got 22. I thought I better stop. Just a word about each. First and leading is loyalty to the Pope. This was a crisis in the church that lost, I repeat, 6 whole nations to the Catholic Church. This is the, capital T, capital H, capital E. This is the gravest problem in what we still call the Catholic Church today. Loyalty to the Pope. Oh, the joy of spending 1 year with Matthew Kim, K-I-M. 28 years in Chinese prisons. All he'd have to do was renounce his obedience to the Pope. Oh, what a price. Over the centuries, those faithful to the Vicar of Christ had to pay for their loyalty. 9 million underground Catholics in China today. Underground bishops, underground priests, underground religious. Masses in hiding. And in China today, some 3 million professed Catholics belonging to the Patriotic Catholic Church with bishops. They've got everything they want. And many of their seminarians from the Patriotic Anti-Papal Catholic Church are being educated in American Catholic seminaries today. Feature number one, loyalty to the Vicar of Christ. Secondly, it was Vincent de Paul, who strongly advocated frequent Holy Communion. And one reason was that it was Vincent de Paul who was a sworn enemy of the Jansenists. In the 17th century, 50 dioceses in France had gone Jansenist. And they strongly, the Jansenists, disapproved of Holy Communion unless a person were totally detached from all creatures. As Vincent wrote, there were religious who made their first Holy Communion on their deathbed. Second feature, promoting frequent communion. Thirdly, Vincent stressed the role of human freedom in cooperating with divine grace. And, not unlike St. Ignatius, although now, because Protestantism had so deeply penetrated the Catholic Church under the guise of Jansenism, human freedom is that by which we merit before God. Fourth feature, faith as a virtue of the mind must be developed. Oh, dear Saint Vincent, how this needs to be stressed today. We talk about other virtues, patience, humility, charity. All beautiful virtues that need, of course, to grow. But Vincent made it clear, our faith must develop. How do you develop your faith? First, by growing in your understanding of what you believe. The truths of our faith are indeed incomprehensible, but they better be intelligible. They better be understood. One of St. Vincent's principal stresses was not just to learn the faith by rote memory. No, understand the faith. Be sure the faith is clear in your minds. Be sure you hold on to the faith with conviction. It was Vincent who taught me that only convinced believers are courageous. Everyone else is a coward. Fortitude, courage, and living the faith depends on my mind understanding what I believe. Fourth feature. Faith is a virtue of the mind that must be developed. And the development means effort. And that is why, as I've said, I'm sure to you more than once, my Vatican superiors have been telling me for years, most of your priests in the United States ordained since the close of the Second Vatican Council need to be re-educated. I say amen. Fifth feature. Careful prudence in planning apostolic work. Some of his dearest friends, members of his own community, Vincent, they complained, look, it's months, some cases it's several years. You've been thinking, planning, studying. Look, let's get going. Vincent insisted, you can never overplan. Well, of course, all the while you're planning, you are praying. It's in this context that, again, Vincent de Paul has deeply affected my life. We should daily plan our next day. You might say, but what am I going to plan? My life is so structured already. Not so fast. Not so fast. What a difference between two people, both doing, say, the same kind of work. One has prayerfully planned on how to do it, and the other, well, just does it. Sixth feature. which is closely identified with the fifth. Regular daily examines of conscience. And the way is not just verbal, but I would say theological. Between an examination of conscience and an examen of conscience. Over the centuries, the church has come to identify an examination of conscience is what we do before we receive the sacrament of confession. There is an examen of conscience is a daily exercise and not just, though for Vincent, once or twice a day required of his followers. But he himself would examine his conscience several times a day, following the example of Saint Ignatius, whose rule was to examine his conscience seven times every day. It's not just a mental discipline. This is taking stock of where I stand at this moment in my fidelity to the graces that God has given me. See the last day or a half day and hear it. How God wants me to do his work, not just the what. For St. Vincent, I would say, it is the spirituality of the how. Carefully thought through, carefully anticipated, carefully prayed over beforehand, so that, as he told his followers, if you prayerfully pray, plan beforehand, then when you come to do whatever it is later on, you will be enlightened by the grace that you've gained because you presented what you were going to do hours beforehand to God. And then you come armed with his grace, enlightened in mind and armed in will. Seventh feature, practicality in one's life. Now that is not, believe me, the answer to how do you do it? It is not some kind of psychological methodology. It is a practicality born of the principle we've seen more than once during the retreat. We are indeed to love God in the depths of our heart. But we are to put this love into practice. What then is practicality? Practicality is putting our love of God into practice. Loving God, how I like to say this, indeed. In the church's vocabulary, that's not an adverb, that's a prepositional phrase. Loving God in, pause, next word, deed. How pious we can be. How rhetorical, how poetic in telling God, my Lord, I love you. Christ, having human lips, smiles. I've heard that before. Would you please put your poetic love into practice. How does God want me, this is Vincent, how does God want me to show my love for him in the next hour, or the next day, or the next week? And almost, as I've indicated before, I identify Vincentian spirituality as the spirituality of the how. Eighth feature, distrust of self. Vincent had no illusion but his own either mental or volitional ability to put God's will into practice. Just assume that you're stupid. Assume that. And the stronger vocabulary you can use to describe your stupidity, the better. My favorite one from me is, harden, you fool. First time I think I've said that out loud. Feature number 9. The rule of St. Vincent took years, but almost say a lifetime, to finally complete. And what this tells us about him is that if something is to last, you can never give either too much thought or too much prayer. God will, God will, God will, God will, God will, God wants what I know he wants me to do. How does he want me to do it? 10th feature, I know of no saint in history who has matched feature number 10. He believed in what he called the apostolate of correspondence. We have still in the archives 30,000 of his letters. That's a lot of letters. The 11th feature, the need for lifelong regular instruction. Every word there counts. There is a need for a lifetime and regular, that is, planned, organized instruction in the faith. Only God knows all the reasons. A religious life in a country like ours has, in about 150 communities, really disappeared. It's died. And one of the main reasons is the failure in these communities making sure that their members had constant, regular, indeed, in St. Vincent's language, lifelong instruction of what it better be in the true Catholic faith. This means that somebody knows the faith. It means that that somebody or those somebodies teach the faith. and those who are being taught. Do not think that, and I mark my words, that will be fatal for the survival of a religious institute. I know. Feature number 12. What a strange feature. Kindness to heretics. Years and years ago, I read How to Win Friends and Influence People. Worth reading. Oh, must be 25 or 30 years since it was first published. Good common sense, but also a certain amount of Christian thought behind it. But one thing that the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People tells you, always be kind. He's writing especially for people in business. You're always kind to your customers. And I found over the years, I think I've shared this with you, the 3-day debate that I had at the University of Michigan with one of the outstanding atheists in the nation. Being a Christian and he being an atheist, I should have him speak first. So he did. And for 3 days, he said what was on his mind. I told him what was not just on my mind, but on the mind of Christ. He ran out of ideas by the second day. Poor atheist. I smiled during the whole, call it dialogue. Sheer pleasure. And by the third day, he told the audience, several thousand, if I had the faith of Dr. Hardin, I'd become a Catholic tomorrow. It pays to be kind to heretics. Never call anybody a heretic. Pardon me, to his face. Feature number 13. Concern for the needs of the laity. It was Vincent de Paul, who was a priest, realized the poor people are being neglected in so many ways just because they were poor. And consequently, let's make sure that we, in our lives and in our apostolate for others, we keep in mind what Christ did. His main purpose for being in this world was to teach, reveal truth. But what did he do? All kinds of favors, being God, he worked miracles, healing all kinds of people, all sorts of perfectly human needs they had. That is so important. In other words, the corporal works of mercy are a precondition for successfully performing the spiritual works of mercy. Feature 14. What Vincent called the apostolate of peace. for him the beatitude which our Lord gave us. Blessed are the peacemakers. He took very seriously. But Vincent also knew, and I thank the Lord for having been taught what Vincent told his followers, been telling people ever since. We shall be only as successful peacemakers between people, or peacemakers within people, millions in our nation are deeply troubled. You don't have one of our states, for the first time since 1776, we now have one of our nations legalizing suicide. And requiring the medical profession to assist people to kill themselves. That would never, never have occurred, and that's only the beginning, if troubled people have the faith to see that the suffering and pain in our lives are gifts of God. But back to St. Vincent. We shall assist others either to restore peace between people or bring peace within people only on the measure that we are at peace ourselves. And, again over the years, I've taught, thanks in large measure to St. Vincent, there are two kinds of peace that we should all possess. Peace of mind in knowing the truth. That's a good theological definition of peace of mind. The experience of the mind knowing the truth. And the world today is feeding hundreds of millions of people with untruth. No wonder we have so many troubled minds. And peace of heart. Peace of heart. Here's the experience of doing God's will. We shall therefore have peace of mind to the extent that our minds possess the truth and our wills, otherwise known as our hearts, will be at peace only in the measure that our wills are conformed and always ready to do the will of God. I've yet in my 48 years in the priesthood to meet a person living in sin who was at peace. And so much of the world's genius is being expended with billions of dollars spent to provide troubled people with some measure of a substitute for the peace of mind and peace of heart they do not possess. Once more, back to St. Vincent. We shall be as effective peacemakers for others. as we ourselves are at peace in mind and heart. Feature 15. Sound moral doctrine for the clergy. Oh, dear Saint Vincent, it is as though you were living in the last half of the 20th century. Sound moral doctrine for the clergy. Never did I dream I would read a papal document as the Holy Fathers, Splendor Veritatis, Splendor of the Truth. So, Holy Father, in plain words, castigates nominally Catholic universities, nominally Catholic seminaries, that are not providing their students here for the priesthood with sound moral doctrine. And what is sound moral doctrine? It is that moral doctrine which conforms to the mind and will of God. And not appeal, dare I say it, in 1968, when the Holy Father, Paul VI, issued Humanae Vitae. One conference of bishops after another, including our own, met in solemn session, the Vicar of Christ, and told their people, the Pope is a wonderful person, but you follow your conscience. Don't allow the Pope to tell you what to do. How the priesthood in today's church needs seminaries that are teaching sound moral doctrine. Sixteenth feature. He prescribed for his followers industry, hard work. I'm not sure many people would even know what the opposite virtue is to the vice of sloth or laziness. It is industriousness. Christ worked. Christ got tired. Oh, one of my favorite forms of mystical experience. Dead tired after having served the Lord all day. 17. St. Vincent told his followers and is telling us, capitalize on your natural talents. You might call them natural, but as we saw before, remember, with St. Dominic, grace builds on nature. Whatever gift you have naturally, God wants to have you use those gifts, and he will elevate them with grace. Feature 18. Once more, thanks, St. Vincent. His spirituality was non-mystical, simple, Christocentric, and active. There are, as we've seen so far, spiritualities that have produced some of the church's great mystics. Well, not Vincent de Paul. We thank God for a Catherine of Siena. but she was not a Vincentian. In other words, a simple spiritual life. Let me tell you this. There is great benefit in reading the lives, say, of a Teresa of Avila or a John of the Cross. But as we were told in our novitiate, in fact, do you know what? We had to get special permission in the novitiate to read either Teresa of Avila or John of the Cross. For fear that a second-year novice, after having buried himself for us in John of the Cross, well, by the second year, he might be having visions. He might be having locutions. I hope I'm making sense. All the visionaries we're having in today's world. Feature 19. Begging to involve the faithful. Oh, how much that has meant to me. You want to involve the faithful in the work you're doing. All right. Start begging. What do you mean, begging? Well, the work that needs to be done for God will cost money. Now, people who have money, as I've told so many, I don't think Mr. Monahan will mind. I may even have said this before. He told me I'm worth $1.25 billion. He made a 30-day retreat. And ever since, I've been telling him, Tom, you'll never get to heaven with all that money. Since that retreat, he has spent, he told me, the most expensive retreat he ever made. He has spent millions. Do you get the point behind St. Vincent? By your begging, it takes a certain amount of humility. Afterwards, you begin to enjoy it. Gives those who have the resources to help save their souls by practicing charity. Feature 20. Frankness, sincerity, but always with gentleness. In other words, be open with people. Be honest with them. But do so first, after you've convinced yourself that they need to be, say, corrected or reprimanded, or the thinking should be changed. But do it gently. Feature 21. I have a quotation. It is priceless. Find a need and fill it. Unquote. Find a need and fill it. The world in which we live is filled with needy people. There is no one on earth who is not in need. We're told by St. Vincent, find the need, among those whom God puts into your life, then do whatever you can to fill that need. And the deepest need of the human heart is for love. How we need to know that God has put so many people into our lives for one purpose, that we might find. And let me tell you, the deepest needs that people have are often the last ones they will admit to. Finally, 22, feature of Ascension spirituality. Divine Providence, on St. Vincent's terms, is a combination of two wonderful attributes of God. God, first of all, enlightens our minds by showing us what we are to do, and then His providence, what else, provides. That's what the noun providence means. God then provides the means of doing it. In other words, God wants us to cooperate with Him in His guiding the world that He made. We are part of God's providence. And the secret is to believe that nothing in our lives ever happens by chance. Nothing ever. And secondly, once we realize what God wants, then we stop speculating, then we trust in God and do it. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the wisdom of St. Vincent de Paul. We ask You to teach us to be simple, honest, hard-working, but especially we ask You to give us something of His understanding that we love You in the measure that we find the need in other people's lives and then do all we can to fill that need by filling that need in the lives of others. We are fulfilling the deepest need in our lives, to love You by loving others. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.